Puerto Ricans voted last Tuesday on the future of the U.S. territory. The results have some claiming that for the first time in 45 years, Puerto Ricans have voted for statehood. But did they? Christina Duffy Ponsa is a professor at the Columbia Law School and also co-editor of Foreign in a Domestic Sense, Puerto Rico, American Expansion, and the Constitution. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, there's some confusion about what Puerto Ricans were saying with this vote. Was it a vote for statehood? Others say it was not a vote for statehood.
Well, the plebiscite had two steps. The first step asked voters whether they wanted to keep the current status of Puerto Rico, just yes or no. Do you want to maintain the current status? And 54% of the voters voted no. So it was a decisive victory for no. This doesn't come as a surprise. All the political parties in Puerto Rico are opposed to maintaining the current status. And in fact, the reason there was a high minority for the yes option, the yes, let's keep the current option, is that one of the political parties wanted to protest the plebiscite itself. And so it told its supporters to vote yes for the current status, despite explicitly maintaining its own opposition to the current status. And so that deflated the majority rejection of the current status, but it was still a decisive rejection that didn't surprise anybody.
So the first question was, do you approve of what's going on now, and people don't like the status quo? And then there was another question.
Right. So the second question was, regardless of how you answered the first question, which of the following options would you prefer? And the options that were provided were three. They were statehood in the Union, so Puerto Rico would become the 51st state. The second option was independence, so Puerto Rico would separate from the United States and become its own nation. And the third option was sovereign free associated state, which is a status under international law in which Puerto Rico would be its own sovereign country but would have a treaty-like relationship with the U.S., where there would be a sort of mutual relationship, support, maybe rights to travel back and forth, and so on. So those were the three options: statehood, independence, and free association. And among the people who voted for an actual option, 61% voted for statehood, about 5% voted for independence, and 33% or so voted for free association.
But I understand like 500,000 people left that question blank. Was that a large percentage of the overall voters?
Well, so let's see. So on the first question, about I think it was 1.74 million people voted on it. And on the second one, 1.32 million voted on it. So you have the 1.74 million is 75% turnout. So you have extremely high turnout. You do have a drop off on the second question. And I think that's in part because there were some people who voted, yes, I'd like to keep the current status, and despite the instruction saying go ahead and vote on an option anyway, there must have been lots of people who thought, well, I'll keep the current status, or I'm voting for it because my political party supported it in protest, so I don't need to vote on the second option. And then there were some people who didn't vote on the second option, presumably because they support an improved version of the current status, something known as enhanced Commonwealth. Mm-hmm. Puerto Rico is currently known as the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, and there's been an option proposed for decades now, enhanced Commonwealth. And there are a number of people who support that option who might not have voted because that option was not included. And the reason it wasn't included is because there have now been a couple of presidential task force reports, both under Bush and Obama, making clear that that option is not available, not okay. We can't have it, basically because the United States doesn't have the power to give it to us, and I could explain what it's about. And also, congressional leaders have said we can't have it. So the drafters of the ballot language didn't put it in, consistent with the presidential task force reports, and the people who favor it might not have voted on the second question for that reason.
Now, I understand beyond the results on this plebiscite, there are other reasons to maybe question the claim that Puerto Ricans supported statehood in the election last Tuesday. I understand some politicians in favor of statehood were ousted in the election also.
That's right. So the two most important positions are obviously the governor. So Puerto Rico's local self-government structure is essentially identical to that of a State of the Union. We have an elected governor. We have a local legislature and so on. And we have a non-voting representative in the House, like D.C., like Washington, D.C. does. At the gubernatorial level, the pro-statehood governor was defeated. He was narrowly defeated by the pro-Commonwealth candidate, a candidate who supports the status that wasn't included on the ballot.
Yeah.
At the non-voting delegate representative level, at that level, the pro-statehood resident commissioner is the name of that position. He was reelected, so I can see why people are confused.
Yeah.
He was the main proponent of this plebiscite, the non-voting resident commissioner. He's for statehood, very vocally so, and he won re-election. But the governor, who has suffered from the economy, and it's been rough on everyone, and so his support, I think, was eroded by Puerto Rico's economic troubles, and so he was voted out.
We're just about out of time, Cristina Ponsa, but it appears one thing that we did learn from that election is that a lot of people don't like the current status of Puerto Rico as a U.S. territory. What are the main reasons that people are dissatisfied?
So there's one main reason, which is that Puerto Ricans are U.S. citizens from birth, subject to U.S. sovereignty, and subject to federal law at Congress's decision and discretion, but they have no voting representation at the federal level. They have the non-voting representative in the House, no senators, and they don't vote in presidential elections. So unlike D.C., they don't do that. People often say, when I explain that as far as they know, Puerto Ricans also don't pay taxes. That's not quite right. Puerto Ricans don't pay federal income taxes. They pay other federal taxes, and they pay very high local taxes. So from the experience of a resident of Puerto Rico, you're paying taxes at the same rate as your fellow Americans, but you're not voting in the federal government at any level. So it's an essentially colonial status. It's an unrepresentative status, even despite the tax exemption. And Puerto Ricans across the board, overwhelmingly, and every political party platform is opposed to the current status and has been for decades.
Cristina Duffy Ponsa, thank you very much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
She's the co-editor of Foreign in a Domestic Sense, Puerto Rico, American Expansion and the Constitution. And last Tuesday's election, some suggestions that Puerto Ricans want to change, but what they want to change to, still a little bit unclear. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds.